Lord, all the glory goes to you. Jesus, you are King. We thank you that you rule. We thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that you came down and died for our sins. We don't deserve access to you, Father, but God, thank you so much by sending your Son, Jesus, so that we can have a relationship with you. And now we're declared as righteous. We are justified in your eyes because of the blood of your slain Son. But he rose from the grave, and now we have victory in him. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. If it's your first time here, this is a unique Sunday where we only have one service. Typically, we have two. But we have what's called Family Worship Sunday, where we have no children's church. So we're going to hear people crying. We're going to hear babies, you know, getting mad, getting tantrums, you know. So it's okay for you to get loud and say, praise God, hallelujah, amen, preacher, whatever you want to say, okay? My name is Cyrus Waters. I'm one of the pastors here at Golden Hills Church, so welcome. And I know it's all crowded in here, but go ahead and greet your neighbor if you could do that. Go ahead and greet your brother and sister if you haven't. Good morning, Merry Christmas. Amen, look at that. That sounds good right there. Because that's what the sermon's going to be about. Greet one another. All right, calm down. Y'all taking it a little too far now. Hey, y'all, I don't even got to preach, man. Y'all already doing y'all thing, man. I don't even have to preach this sermon, okay? All right. Well, for many of us, when we do things that are routine, there are times where we kind of just coast along and get complacent to where we eventually forget to do the most basic and essential tasks. For example, kids, you do so much homework and classwork, and you forget to put your name on your paper. Oh. Or kids, maybe you receive so many Christmas presents, you forget to say thank you. Or maybe you ask for so much stuff, you forget to ask with please, right? Teenagers. All right, you get up from your morning routine, you do it so often, so much, you know, you just do it all lazy, and, you know, you just roll out with your pajamas on and put a hoodie on, and you know, you forget to put deodorant and put toothpaste on your toothbrush. And it shows, or I should say, and it smells, right? But let me get on the grown folks real quick, all right? So some of y'all grown folks, you've been driving for so long, you switch lanes, you turn, and you don't even put your signal on. You forgot. Causing accidents, causing frustrations on the road and things like that. See, we forget to follow simple instructions. For example, we get a Q-tip, right? We don't just clean outside the ears. We dig all up in our ear canal and stuff when we're not supposed to. All we're doing is just digging more earwax into our ear canal. And that's why I have a hard time listening and hearing sometimes, right? But it feels so good. It feels so good, doesn't it? But on the box, it says, do not put into your ear. Some of us are like Pharisees, where we want to pick and choose what to obey or emphasize in the word while neglecting and disobeying other parts of the word. See, the Pharisees loved the commandments that were external, yet they neglected the weightier matters like justice, mercy, and faithfulness, which they ought to have done without neglecting the commandments they were obeying. See, we sometimes tend to forget the little things that are important. We overlook the simple things, forgetting their effectiveness. We think that because something seems basic, it's not impactful. Or maybe we just forget. Perhaps we think we're too good for some of the basics. Or maybe those simple things are actually a challenge for us. Today, we'll be looking at a commandment in Scripture that is simple, yet effective, but often forgotten. This commandment is to greet one another. Greet one another. See, it's often forgotten, it's often neglected, it's often overlooked, often ignored, and often disobeyed. But it is a commandment that is commanded numerous times in Scripture. We'll look at many of those verses. But to greet one another, it means to acknowledge others, to say hi to others, and to recognize people. See, if you're an introvert, or you're shy, or you're a reserved person, you're not going to like this sermon. But it's okay. I'm going to try and challenge you, but also encourage you how you can still use your personality for God's glory. He wired you for that reason. We need introverted people. We need extroverted people in the body. I'll talk a little bit more specifically about that. And I know some of you guys, you might think that like, oh, this sermon is going to be very basic and shallow, man. I need the meat of the word. Yeah, you need the meat of the word, amen, but you need to learn how to meet, all right? Talking about you want to learn Greek, you better learn how to greet. In fact, speaking of Greek, what does greet mean in Greek? Okay, in Greek, to greet means to greet, all right? It means to acknowledge someone's presence. It means to salutations with joy, to welcome someone, to say hello. See, some of you, you've been here at Golden Hills for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and you forgot about this commandment. You've been neglecting this commandment. But it's okay, we're going to talk about that. And this will be a topical sermon, meaning that the sermon is driven by a topic rather than a specific text, which we specifically do here at Golden Hills Community Church, right? Line by line, verse by verse, text by text, exposition of the passage, which is, in my opinion, the best form of preaching, all right? But I'm not going to be doing that today. I'm going to be jumping all over the place, touching on multiple verses about greeting one another. So there's going to be times where I make a reference and I'm not going into as depth as I would like. So you're going to have to be a Berean and study those scriptures for yourselves, understand the full context and things like that, etc. But I think this is a good topic for us to go over, you know, ending our 2025 year and entering into the 2026 year, because this right here is going to be our New Year's resolution as a church. We're going to be intentional. We're going to be proactive. We're going to be assertive. We're going to prioritize the importance of greeting one another so that we will be a truly hospitality-minded church, so that we will be a church that reflects the love of Christ, so that we'll be a church that's others-oriented. Today, we'll look at three reasons why we must greet one another so that we'll be a church that is truly hospitality-minded and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with others, to cultivate healthy fellowship and potentially open doors for evangelism to the lost world. First reason, the first reason is greeting others is a commandment. Greeting others is a commandment. If you go to your Bible, go to Philippians 4, 21 to 23, I know in your bulletin it says that's the main text we're going to be touching on. That's actually just our first text we're going to be touching on. That's just like our launch pad verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 21 to 23, it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with you, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Apostle Paul tells the church to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. A saint means a holy one or a set apart one, a sanctified or a distinct one from the world. Every Christian is a saint and is to be holy. You ever hear that saying, either you a saint or you ain't? All right, this commandment is for all Christians, or all saints are to be greeted. Paul, while he is in prison, tells the Philippian church that the saints he is with greet him, and even those who are believers in Caesar's household, and he wishes them well, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with their spirits. The commandment to greet is a spiritual duty that is a simple expression of love. Greeting others is an imperative from God. We know what imperative is from Pastor Phil's preaching, right? It means a commandment. It is commanded by God, and we see it all throughout the New Testament, but it is often overlooked in reading because most of the time there's no elaboration on the commandment, or it's because it's towards the end of a New Testament letter, and we just, you know, kind of just like, whatever, that don't mean anything too much for my life. But it's there. It can't be overlooked in practice because it is commanded. Greeting one another is a relational duty that affirms the value of others in the body. Now, we saw that example in Romans 16, verse 3 to 16, which we had read in our public scripture reading, because I didn't want to read that. I wasn't going to try and pronounce all them names, you know. But Mark DeBose did excellent, you know. But we see there that Paul acknowledges everyone by name. And he tells the church to greet these individuals. Over 25 people are listed, where Paul acknowledges all of them by name. The fact that Paul names each of these individuals show you that there is intentionality. You can also see that Paul knows them. It's not just all shallow. He knows how some sacrifice their lives for the gospel. He knows how some of them serve and work hard for the church. He knows when some of them got saved. He knows people's mamas. In fact, in Romans 16, 13, Paul says that Rufus' mother became a mother to him. He knows their family. He knows their families. That's intentionality. Greet one another is a commandment where we must be intentional. 3 John 15 says, peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. Know people's names. regardless of how awkward it is. I know sometimes I'll be asking for y'all names every single week when I'm trying to greet you guys, okay? But that's okay. I'll get it one day, right? And I still, with my high schoolers, have to ask, like, hey, what's your name again? Because there's so many. And then sometimes with the parents, I ask, like, hey, who are you the mother or who are you the father of again? Sorry about that. I know we talked before many times, but what is your name again? Sometimes we have to do that. For many of us, that doesn't come naturally, though, right? For many of us, that is a huge challenge. But we have to be deliberate. We have to prioritize and obeying this commandment. And we could pray about this. You know, if you struggle with this, pray that God will empower you to remember names, to greet people, to be others-oriented and acknowledging other people. Because this is a commandment in Scripture, and I believe the Holy Spirit will help you with this. See, there is no, this commandment right here, greeting others, is a non-negotiable commandment. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Can't use your personality or shyness as an excuse. Can't use your insecurities as an excuse. Can't use your prejudices as an excuse. And I'm not saying you have to be Mr. Miss Life of the Party, you know, ultra extrovert, where you're walking down the aisle and you're talking to every single person there is. I don't want you to feel convicted and feel like you sinned because, like, man, I didn't greet the people at the balcony. I didn't talk to that one usher over there on the opposite side of where I'm sitting. I'm going to stand in the parking lot and make sure I greet every single person. That's not what I'm saying, all right? But I do want you to examine your heart. If you're coming to church and you're like, you know, I ain't going to talk to nobody. I don't want people looking at me. I ain't going to make no eye contact. I ain't going to keep my hands in my pocket just to demonstrate and show people I don't want you shaking my hand. And I'm going to just sit down right here. And I'm going to sing a worship song. I'll hear the word. And then when it's over, I'm bouncing and I'm going my merry way. That is not how you are to come into the corporate worship service. All right, just like how we hear the public reading of Scripture, just like how we're to worship, sing songs to each other and to the Lord together, just like how we're to hear the reading of the word together, we are to greet one another as well. See, that's why we say, you know, come early, stay late. We don't say that just to waste your time, all right? We say that so you have a full experience of fellowship together, you know, get to know someone new. And you could do that. This church is so big. There's no excuse to say, like, oh, we're a big church, so we're not welcoming, we're not as intimate. That ain't no excuse, all right? We can't say, you know, like, how do we get rid of cliques? How do we get rid of, like, you know, like not being friendly and stuff? By obeying this commandment, greet one another. That's what we do. And if you're an introvert, if you're reserved, you could make a small goal for yourself. You could say, look, I'm going to try and greet someone new this Sunday. All right, you could do that every Sunday. We're so big. You just greet one new person, just one. You could do that. All right, and you could prioritize that. You could pray about that. So I'm giving you guys some application. Y'all be wondering, like, oh, what am I supposed to do? There's no application or practical things in the sermon. I gave it to you right there, okay? So don't come to me talking about, oh, this ain't no application in the sermon, because if you come to me afterwards and tell me that, I'm going to point to a random person, and I'm going to say, go say hi to that person right there. Do you know that? Go say hi. Join a greeting ministry. Be an usher. You know what I'm saying? Do something like that. All right? But I don't want you guys thinking that the mentality of just being consumed with yourself is cool coming to a worship service. You need to come others-oriented. Yes, you get fed. Yes, you need to get equipped and edified and encouraged and things like that. But you need to be others-oriented when you come into the body, because it ain't just about you. All right, when we come to heaven, and it ain't just going to be you and Jesus. It's going to be you and the rest of the church and Jesus. We're a family. We're together. See, this is something I always do. I always encourage, like, introverts or reserved people, do a character study on Apostle Andrew. I know we've been going through 1 Peter. We did a whole summer series on the character and life of Peter, so we know a lot about Peter. But see, Peter has a brother named Andrew. We don't hear him talk much. But he's always doing something, and it's always just one person that he gives attention to, but every time he does it, it's very impactful. See, Andrew, Peter's brother, he's the one that brought Peter to Jesus. All right, that simple act right there, he's the one that met Jesus first, and he told Peter, like, hey, the Messiah's here, let me bring you to Jesus. Andrew, he's also the one where he brought the young boy with the two fish and five loaves. He brought that young boy to Jesus. That was Andrew who did that. Andrew, he also brought some Greeks who were, you know, trying to seek and trying to figure out who Jesus was. He brought them to Jesus. See, Andrew, he was someone that was probably more introverted, more in the background. You know, he wasn't someone that preached to 3,000 people and 3,000 souls got saved. But he understood the importance of just one person bringing them to Jesus, and that made a huge impact. So that is why it is important that, like, hey, we have introverts in the body and extroverts in the body. All right, because I know extroverts, sometimes we could overwhelm introverts and stuff. It's like, okay, can you calm down and go take a nap now? And I feel that way sometimes, too, because I'm not as extroverted as you might think, because there are people who I know are more extroverted than me, and I get drained. I want to go and play video games now. You just on 10 and stuff, and I'm just trying to chill and just say hi to you, but you all hyper and stuff. But that's the beauty of the body. It brings diversity. So don't think that like, oh, I can't do this. I'm not good at it. Like, no, we're all commanded to do this. God knows that there's different people in the body. We could do this. The commandment to greet other believers is something we should joyfully obey. All right, so we don't want to be like Charlie Brown or like Eeyore or something like that. Oh, I guess I'll do this reluctantly. Like, hey, how you doing? Okay, yeah, I did. I followed that commandment, you know. You like the meh emoji. You know, like that emoji movie, meh, you know. That's a boring movie. I don't know how y'all watched it. I fell asleep on that in theaters, but we are to do this with joy. We are to greet with joy. 2 John chapter 1, verse 12 says, though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. And in 3 John 13 and 14, it's almost verbatim, almost says the same thing. It says, I have much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. In 2 John, John was writing to a lady and her children, and in 3 John, he wrote to a man named Gaius. Both great letters. You can read in about 2 to 4 minutes. You know, I know you guys probably want to know the context. Like, hey, that's your homework right there, okay? Read those two letters, right? But what I want to emphasize about those two letters is John's desire to see the recipients of his letters in person. John in both letters says that he has more to communicate. Some say it's because John is being cheap. You know, he's not trying to spend more money on ink and paper and stuff like that. But I think really it's because, like, hey, there's some details, there's some things I need to communicate that it's just best to just say in person. And probably because his hand be tired because he don't feel like writing like Paul. You know, Paul, he talk a lot. You see Romans chapter 6, you know, 1 to 16, that's a lot of writing, right? John is very short and to the point, right? But that's something we should learn there, just from that. We should desire to see each other face to face. See, John, he uses these words, hope, you know, so that our joy may be complete. We should be excited. You know, part of what we look forward to Sunday is that, wow, I'm going to see some of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I haven't seen them all week. All right, and some of you guys want to send these long emails and these long text messages and stuff like that. And sometimes I respond like John, like, you know, it's better just to meet face to face. Or do a FaceTime. Some of you guys know I love FaceTime. Apostle John loves FaceTime. That's where it came from. You know, FaceTime's in the Bible right there, right? But let's be honest. There's some things where it's just better to communicate in person, right? Because a lot of the communication is nonverbal. We understand that already, right? But the point about greeting one another, it should be a joyful experience. There should be a desire or determination to be present in fellowship. See, there should be a joy when you say hello to one another. We learn this in sporting events. You ever go to a 49ers game, San Francisco Giants game, Warriors, or whatever, man, everybody's saying what's up to everybody, man. They just cheering with each other. They just celebrating together and stuff. 3 years ago, I went to WrestleMania. That's like the Super Bowl of pro wrestling, right? Me and my wife went to WrestleMania, and I was even doing it. Like, I'm taking pictures with random wrestling fans dressed up like wrestlers with our wrestling belts. I'm high-fiving people. You know, we getting mad, you know, not at each other, but with each other because John Cena lost. Like, we all up into it together, and I don't even know these people's names. Now, some of you guys probably still do this. Hopefully you don't, all right? But if you are, maybe you'll get out of this. But some of you guys remember, we used to go to house parties. You used to go to the club and stuff like that. And it's all dark and everything. There's music, it's all loud and stuff. You talking to everybody. You can't even see who they are. All right, you exchanging numbers with people. You don't know who they are. You dancing all up on people. Don't even know or can't even see what they look like. You greeting everybody up in that setting, right? And they turn the light on and it turns out you was dancing with a Ninja Turtle, right? Okay, you guys remember in the 90s, Vanilla Ice had a music video with the Ninja Turtles dancing. Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? So I'm not too off. But the point is that, like, in those other contexts, we want to be life of the party, say hi to people, you know, greet one another and stuff. But when we come to church, we want to be a little grump. We want to be a bump on the log. We don't like, man, I don't care about talking to nobody. I'm just going to be here like this. No. You know, greet the people by you. Just greet the people around you, okay? Say hello. That is important because here's the thing. You never know who you're going to come in contact with. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. Say hello to everyone in the church. Those around you, those who you're sitting with. See, some of you, you're so concerned about, oh, worried about where your seat is. Like, oh, I gotta make sure nobody's sitting in my seat. We don't got no seating charts here. And this story was told to me. I don't know who it is, but it happened here. All right, so if you hear this and you know this, okay, you could get mad if you want to. But someone told me that, like, hey, man, like, you know, they didn't welcome the person I brought over because they were sitting in their seat. They told them to get up and move out the way so they could sit where they sit at. Man, when I heard that, I was so angry. Like, I wanted to be messy and ask, like, hey, who did that? But, yeah, I didn't want to do that. But, you know, when we hear stories like that, like, hey, man, that's not cool. All right, it's not appropriate. It's wrong. It's sinful. All right, as a church, we ought to be a welcoming people. And it turns out that person was an unbeliever, too, which makes it even worse. Like, oh, my, he's an unbeliever, man, and you did that. Now, thankfully, he comes back every now and then. But still, you know, like, these are stories where we can't have, you know what I'm saying? Greeting others is related to hospitality. And as Christians, we are to be hospitable in our fellowship, love, and welcome others into our fellowship, our communal and corporate worship together. And here's another interesting point. Greeting one another is also a duty that may bring unexpected or surprise blessings. Hebrews 13:1-2 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So this refers to the times in the Old Testament when saints like Abraham and Lot showed hospitality to individuals whom they didn't know were angels. So later on they did. Now, this isn't the main reason why we were to greet random people and show hospitality, but you never know. You greet someone you never seen before. You show the act of kindness or love to someone that you haven't seen again. Could it be an angel? I don't know. I'll let you guys decide that according to that text, okay? But just know, like any form of obedience, it does result into blessings. And I think you guys get the point now, how greeting one another is a commandment that is to be obeyed. And that is really the sufficient reason why we are to obey that commandment. There shouldn't be any other reason, right? But we'll get a little bit more into it, okay? We're going to get a little bit more practical, okay? Because you guys want application all the time. We'll get a little bit more practical, okay? Second reason why we are to greet one another is that it is foundational to healthy Christian fellowship. 1 Peter 5:14. You guys miss 1 Peter? I'll do a little bit of 1 Peter for y'all, okay? It says, greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all who are in Christ. Notice how Peter commands his readers to greet one another with the kiss of love. In other parts of Scripture, you will see a reference to a holy kiss, like what we read earlier in Romans 16:16, okay? You could write these other references down, okay? 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:20, and then 1 Thessalonians 5:26. You'll see a reference to the holy kiss. In the ancient Near East, kissing was a normal way of greeting, and it's still like that in certain cultures and contexts. Obviously, in our Western culture, kissing isn't the normal way we typically greet each other. We do holy hugs. That's what y'all know what a holy hug is, right? You know, we just do a side hug or something where you hug like this, okay? Don't act like this don't need to be preached about, okay? All right? Sometimes we do a handshake, you know, a fist bump. Maybe we do a secret handshake, you know, fist pump, thumb, pinky, whatever, okay? Or some of you kids, this is what kids do nowadays. They'd be like, hey, what's up, snail? What is that? I don't know what that is, right? The kids do that stuff. But the point is that we are to greet each other. That's associated with purity. It's not sensual. It's not romantic. It's a greeting that should be above reproach. It shouldn't be something where people see you guys greeting as questionable, like, oh, they like each other or something like that. No, it is a brotherly, sisterly love. That's why kiss of love, kiss of agape, right? A godly, pure love. All right, that is how we are to greet one another. And I know some of you guys are germaphobes. We're like, man, I ain't trying to shake hands and stuff like that. You know, we'll do like a, you know, a homie head nod or something, or, you know, the Eastern bow. On Wednesdays, or once a month on a Wednesday, I speak at the chapel. I handshake and high-five the TK and kindergartners. And you know what I'm thinking, right? Whew. I sacrifice it, though, man. I just want to greet these kids, but, you know, I wash my hands when I'm done. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you can have some hand sanitizer with you if you're uncomfortable with all that, okay? And also, too, when it comes to holy hugs, guys, let me talk to you guys, too. I'm talking about the young guys. It could be older guys, too. Don't be asking sisters like, hey, where my hug at? All right? That's a red flag right there. Like, I don't know where it is, creep. Go somewhere, okay? Greet one another should be pure and holy. See, greeting one another is a commandment that initiates relationships and fellowship. See, greeting fellow believers is foundational to all the one another commands. You know, think about, like, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, right? Honor one another, forgive one another. If you're not following the commandments to greet one another, you're probably not following all the other commandments. Greeting fellow believers maintains healthy fellowship. Romans 15:5-7 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. See, greeting promotes unity and harmony. It is a reminder of our shared identity and union in Christ. It eliminates partiality. I encourage you guys to read James 2, 1 through 9 on your own time, but that's a good illustration James is giving about a hypothetical situation of like two different people coming and you're showing favor to the other one as opposed to the other. Like I said, I don't want you to feel bad if you're not walking down every single aisle and greeting every single person that comes to the church, but I want you to examine your heart. Okay, I'll tell you, like, it's sinful if you don't want to just greet people. It is. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. That's what the kids say, right? I'll tell you what else is sinful, too. If you come to a worship setting, like, you know, like Sunday, if you come to a Awana or middle school, high school ministry, children's church, a small group setting, you know, men's, women's Bible study, whatever, and you specifically don't talk to a certain person because you have a beef with them, or you don't like their hair, you don't like their skin color, you don't like how they talk, you don't like whatever, that's sinful too. We can't have that mentality here. And you might say like, oh, but you know, that person's weird, or that person, you know, I don't want to talk to that person. Like, no, we can't show partiality like that. See, this is why small churches, if you come from a small church, typically there's a time of fellowship within the service, right? A time of greeting one another because like, hey, man, we're a family, we want to greet new people and things like that. You know, obviously we're a big church, so you know, probably wouldn't make sense for us to do that, you know, for 10 minutes and things like that and get you guys all back sitting down, but you guys can still practice this commandment of greeting others. I always encourage my high school students, the student leaders, some of them were probably saying hi to you guys or sitting up here up front, and I always tell them, look, if you guys, you know, see someone sitting by themselves in the high school amphitheater, take a friend with you and go greet that person and sit with that person. All right, don't just ignore them and just like, yeah, that's a new person I've never seen before. They're sitting by themselves, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Like, no, go over there and say hi to them. All right, greet them. Introduce yourself. Like, yeah, I could do it, but it's more impactful when you do it because you're a peer. Okay, it's expected for me to do it. All right, because, you know, what I get upset and I get sad when I talk to a parent and I know they have a high school and I ask them, like, hey, how come your son or daughter, how come they don't come to high school ministry on Thursdays? And they say, like, oh, they tried it out one time, but hey, no one greeted them, no one welcomed them, no one acknowledged them. Even the small group leaders didn't really, like, do anything. It's like, man, I can't stand that, all right? Now, I own up to it because when I first came here, that wasn't a priority for me. Like, I was doing it, but I had to learn the hard way and know that, like, look, it just can't be one person. It can't just be the pastor. It just can't be the leaders. It got to be everybody. Everybody's commanded to do this. And, no, this is not even a spiritual gift. You just need to have a willing heart. Now, are some people more gifted in doing that and greeting others and more confident and comfortable with that? Yeah, sure. But everyone is commanded to do this. The same thing on Sundays. All right, we gotta go out and greet others. Hospitality. Greeting others is foundational to Christian fellowship, which is why it must be obeyed and why it is powerful. But here's another reason why we must greet. Because greeting possibly can open up an opportunity to evangelize. All right, so this can apply for other places like, you know, school, store, and so forth, but I'm talking specifically about in the church setting, okay? And I don't want you guys going down the street on Lone Tree or in the Target parking lot just trying to say hi to every single person and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But when you're in a setting like this, right, and you're greeting people, you never know who you're greeting could be an unbeliever, all right? And through that initial conversation could start an evangelistic relationship. All right, you got to think about that because there are people who come here who are unbelievers, who don't know the gospel. They're just seeking. Maybe they're curious. Maybe a friend brought them and stuff like that. They need to be showered the love of Christ when they come in here. See, greeting is the first impression. All right, people will sense the hospitality of the church before they know if the preacher's solid, if he's preaching a word, before they know the quality of the music, you know, before they figure out if they got a choir or not. Yeah, I know. Y'all mad at that. So. But for real, greeting, hospitality is the first impression of the church before all that stuff. Before they find out if they got midweek study and youth ministry and things like that, greeting is the first impression. That is why it is essential. See, greeting unbelievers show the love of Christ and distinguishes us from the world. It can open a door for evangelism. It is a simple way you can be missional to those who are outside the faith. In Matthew 5, 42 to 47, Jesus says, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you,
so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So you're not doing anything unique when you're saying what's up to your homies, all right? People you know. Unbelievers do that. But we are to be like Christ. Christ not only loved his enemies, but he even greeted those whom many in his day would not give attention to or they looked down upon. The Samaritan woman, tax collectors, adulterers, some of the worst sinners, zealots, thugs, Gentiles, the poor, those with disabilities. He crossed lines that people of his day wouldn't. If we want to practice hospitality and evangelize like Christ, we need to think about the least of these in our society, in our context. We need to think about those who are different, those who no one in our context will feel comfortable talking to. And if we're honest, many of us don't greet others or evangelize to others because we have a fear of man and we are self-consumed. We get concerned more about what others think of us. We get concerned about our insecurities because of how we look. We got acne on our face because of how we sound. We have a lisp or something like that. That's me, by the way, too. Y'all notice that, right? Okay. We think that we aren't good enough or smart enough or, I don't know, pretty enough. We make these judgments. Maybe we have these stereotypes. We all have them. But we're not thinking about how we are to glorify God and love others. You know, what if a lady came here and she had a hijab on? What was she going to say? Would you welcome them? Would you share the gospel with them? What if someone came in here? No one here has blue hair that I see, okay? But what if someone here came in here with some blue hair, some mohawk or something? They got piercings all on their face and tattoos and all that stuff. You know, and they got like a LGBTQA plus shirt on. All right, what you going to do? You going to greet them? Welcome them? What you going to do, okay? You know, what are you going to do if someone wore a shirt with a president you don't like on it? What you going to do? You going to greet them? You going to share them the love of Christ? All right. Who are some people or people groups or types of people that you're uncomfortable greeting and having conversations with and sharing the gospel with? We all have it. See, I'll give myself an example. If I saw some brother yoked with a muscle from his ear to his shoulder and like the, you know, from the inner elbow to the waist looking like, you know, like a wing muscle right there standing like this. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be intimidated a little bit. All right. But I'll do it. I'll go talk to him, greet him and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him if, you know, the conversation leads to that. Right, so, but here's the thing, and you might think, wow, this is awkward, this is uncomfortable. God blesses obedience, all right? Greeting others, yeah, it can be awkward. You can have awkward interactions. It can be awkward sharing the gospel with some, but you're obedient, and God blesses that, all right? I gave you guys some real-life scenarios of people who might possibly come here, and here, let's be real. If we're evangelistic, we want them type of people here, all right? Teenagers, what you gonna do if, like, you know, a girl comes on high school on Thursday, she's 16 years old, maybe, and she's pregnant. Okay. What you going to welcome her? Or you just going to gossip and psst. You going to welcome her, share the love of Christ? This is real life right here. Okay, what are we going to do? We are to greet one another. If we want to be like Christ, we're going to go across those boundaries and not be scared and not be ashamed. But God will bless that. People may turn you down. People may reject your greeting or evangelism. That's fine, too. But you honor God. Say, we have visitors every week. We have unbelievers who are in our midst. You wouldn't know if you don't greet anyone new, of course, but you never know. You greet someone here, and it could be a start of an evangelistic relationship or opportunity. Now, a quick note, but this is important. There is an exception on how we are not to be welcoming and greet a particular group, and this is false teachers or false prophets. All right, 2 John 7:2-11, it says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." In the ancient Near East culture, when it came to hospitality, welcoming strangers into the home was normal. Yet John is telling the lady and her children, don't open up your home for these particular people groups. People who deny the true nature of Jesus Christ. People who are going out and teaching a false gospel. And in the ancient Near East context as well, many of these Christians, they use their homes for like their corporate worship setting. So John perhaps was also telling her like, hey, don't allow false teachers to come in here and teach you guys this stuff. Now you might wonder, how do we do this in our modern context though, you know? Well, here in the church, we're not gonna allow just two Mormon missionaries just come up in here and sit down and just trying to proselytize people. No, they gotta get out, okay? We aren't to, you know, give to people's missions who are teaching a false gospel. We aren't to, you know, provide a house for them to stay in because they're out here, out of town, some Jehovah's Witness missionaries coming here. We could tell them the gospel. We could tell them that they're wrong as well and that they're in error and tell them the true nature of Jesus Christ and the true meaning of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we could pray for their salvation. But besides that, we don't need to befriend them, associate with them, you know, welcome them. That's the exception right there. All right, I have to put that there because I know some guys going to give like a what-if scenario. Here's another what-if. If you're just somewhere you're not familiar with and it's dark and there's an alleyway and stuff and you see some people over there, obviously you don't greet them, right? That's wisdom right there. Go home, all right? You know, children, obviously, you know, you don't talk to strangers when you're by yourself, right? And your parents aren't present, obviously. So I'm not encouraging that for you kids, right? But obviously at school and children's church, Awana, hey, greet your peers, greet your friends, greet people who aren't your friends and get to know them, right? And I'll allow your parents to elaborate about the talking to adult strangers themselves. And now some of you guys are wondering, like, what about this situation? What about my ex? You know, we go to the same church, my ex-boyfriend, do I greet them? All right, I ain't answering that, okay? That's too much, all right? All right, here's the thing. Every Christian is called to greet others. It's not just people in the greeting ministry, connecting ministry, ushers, or the pastors. Every Christian is called to this. Greeting is not even, it's, like I said, you just need a willing heart. It's not a spiritual gift, all right? When we come together, it's not about you. Learn to be others-oriented in your walk. My high schoolers, they get so tired of me because I have no range in my preaching. I talk about the same old junk all the time, and they get sick of it. I'll talk about evangelism, hospitality, and service. That's pretty much all I talk about on Thursdays, all right? But that's the Christian life, all right? You need to be others-oriented. I always emphasize that. You need to be others-oriented, and you need to serve to edify the body and go out and share the gospel. Stop being unashamed of the gospel, all right? See, me being a wrestling fan, y'all laugh at that, but me being a wrestling fan helped me to be unashamed of the gospel. You know why? Because pro wrestling is pretty bizarre, right? People always say, oh, that's fake, you know, it's not real. You know, they say the same thing about Jesus when you evangelize sometimes, right? They say, oh, that's fake, it's not real and stuff like that. Look, if I could be unashamed and bold about something bizarre like pro wrestling, I could do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? If you're a Raiders fan, okay, you need to be, no, listen up, you need to be the most bold about the gospel, all right? So now you got the Raider bumper sticker, got a hat, got to tat it up and stuff like that. You so proud about being a Raiders fan, knowing their record is abysmal, all right? Yet you still going out sharing the gospel. You don't want to share the gospel, okay? You know, you got to be bold, all right? All right, if you're talking about 6'7", you know, and you never filled out a W-2 for a 9-to-5, so you have a 401k and a 403b, and so you get a W-4 and 1099, okay, you could go share the gospel. And look, them kids don't even know what I'm talking about, but, and then some of y'all don't know, what are you talking about 6'7", all right? It don't matter, okay? But the numbers that I just said matters, okay? We didn't be bold and share the gospel, okay? If you put, like, you know, if you put pineapple on pizza, you could be bold about Christ, okay? If you put raisins in your mac and cheese and potato salad, let me stop. All right, I'm getting in trouble now. Let me stop, okay? We need to be bold, okay? And I encourage you, if you're a member here at Golden Hills for over a year and you're looking to serve, okay, greeting ministry, okay? Being an usher, those are neat. Connecting ministry, starting point, okay? Those could help you out. See, when I first got saved, my first official ministry was actually being a greeter. I was about 19, 20 years old. You know, my dad told me, like, okay, you're a member of church. Okay, now you need to serve. Like, I don't know where to serve at, like, I'll do greeting, and that was scary for me, right? I'm young, and I'm newly saved and stuff. I'm scared to talk to older people, scared to talk to different people or whatever, right? But that really helped me. That really impacted me. That helped me with my people skills. It forced me to greet people that I wasn't familiar with. Seminary didn't teach me that. All right, that was just being in the ministry, serving, greeting one another. So you could grow in that, okay? It helps you to develop people skills, and it transfers over to evangelism as well. So I encourage you guys to do that if you're looking to, trying to find a way to serve, okay? You need to be called to serve, okay? Don't be like a cranberry sauce Christian, all right? Who here likes cranberry sauce, okay? Look at that, only like 5 of you guys, exactly, okay? No one likes cranberry sauce. It's just sitting there on the plate or it's in the back of your fridge in Tupperware since Thanksgiving. You forgot it's even in there. It's just sitting there like this. All You know what I'm saying? like that stale Raisin Bran cereal in the pantry, okay? All right, but here's the thing. Like, you don't want to just be a Christian just existing, just there. You want to contribute, all right? You want to go all in and go hard for Jesus Christ. And, of course, you want to be an active part of the body of Christ. Now, the ultimate example of greeting is in the gospel. God initiates a relationship with us, though we were enemies. He loves us and invites us into his kingdom. Though we were strangers, we have now become adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, once recipients of wrath and now redeemed and heirs of his great promise. When you greet others, think about how profound the act of it is and how powerful it can be. If you're here today, we want to invite you and welcome you to come and fellowship with us by believing in Jesus Christ. Believe him as your Lord, boss, master over your life, over your soul, and trust him as Savior of your sins. You need a Savior. See, Christmas just passed. The greatest gift and the gift that keeps on giving is Jesus Christ, because he paid the penalty of sin on our behalf. You know what it's like to be in debt. Some of you guys, right? College, student loans, you got credit card debt already just from Christmas shopping and all that stuff, right? All right, we're all in debt, but it's an eternal debt without Christ. But see, Christ, when he was on the cross, he paid that debt for us so that we're free. All right, we're free. We're ransomed. We're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are to serve him and glorify him, and we will be with him and his church forever. If you don't have that, wrath awaits you. Yeah, you're going to be receiving, eternal torment. We don't want that for you. God doesn't want the wicked to perish either. So come to him. We invite you. We welcome you to come to him. Come to saving faith. Believe in him. Repent. Forsake your sins. Turn away from it and trust him. All right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for being a great model of hospitality for us as a church. Thank you for being a great example of how we could cross lines and these societal boundaries when it comes to evangelism. And Lord, forgive us for failing in this area, of not showing hospitality, of not obeying this commandment of greeting one another. Lord, I pray that we are convicted by this message, but I pray that we're also encouraged as well. This is a doable commandment for many of us. And I know for some of us, maybe many of us, this might be very difficult too. But because we are empowered and your spirit indwells in us, we can do this. See, part of the fruit of the spirit is goodness. One of the simple ways of acting out and doing good deeds is greeting others. So Lord, help us to do this commandment. Lord, I thank you for this church. Help us to grow in 2026. Help us to be a church not only known for standing on the truth, being firm about the gospel, taking the word serious, being word saturated and Christ-centered and gospel-driven, but also help us to be hospitality-minded as well. Help us to love the community. Help us to love one another. Help us to be others-oriented. Help us to show hospitality by your spirit. Lord, I pray for anyone who is here who doesn't know you. I pray that they come to saving faith and believe in you, Jesus. This is the ultimate means of hospitality. You allowing sinners to enter into your presence through the blood of Christ, having access to you, Father. Thank you so much that we have a great high priest through your son, Jesus Christ, where we could come to you boldly. God, I thank you for this time. May you bless the rest of this week. May we glorify you this last week of 2025. So we enter into the new year with joy, anticipation to go out and make disciples of all nations. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.